You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Journeyman, brought to you by the good folks at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. We got ATL movie star Juju Gotti and three-time Pro Bowler TJ Ward in the building with us. We talk James Harden. We talk Drewski Sports Agency, the easiest jobs in sports, and so much more. Let's get it.
Who are these guys?
It's my theme music. Every good hero should have some.
This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't control it, how can you teach? Discipline is not the enemy of enthusiasm.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Journeyman, brought to you by the good folks at the DraftKings Network and Meadowlark Media. As always, I am your host, Andrew Hawkins, 7-year NFL vet, joined again by my boy, Juju Gotti, ATL Short, a WNBA purist is in the building. Ju, what's happening?
You feel me? We outside, man. Thank you so much for having me back. You feel me? I'm always honored. Hey, man, I can't even believe that you would waste your time talking to a bum such as myself. So I appreciate where I'm at. You know what I mean? I respect this establishment so much more than you can ever imagine.
Shout out to you, Ju. You're actually not outside. You are absolutely inside. We can actually see you, brother. Also, joining the show today, we got my dog, TJ Ward, Super Bowl champ, former All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, will be joining us a little later to talk some football. But we're going to start with some B-ball, Ju, and the story that everyone in the NBA world has been talking about. I need your perspective here. My man, James Harden. Now, depending on how you look at the situation, for those of you that don't know, James Harden wants a new team again. He always wants a new team. He changes new teams like he changes sneakers, okay? And he is stopping at nothing to make sure that that's known and doing everything in his power to get out of Philadelphia. Now, we have seen James Harden do a lot of things when it's time to get out of a team. We've watched him gain weight and lose weight in a matter, I think, 4 days at one point. He looked like an offensive lineman, then went right back to looking like a wideout. But it depends on how you look at this, Ju, because I'm looking at my rundown and producer Jeff, he calls James Harden a diva. And as I'm reading the rundown, I'm like, you know what? I don't see James Harden as a diva. And I'm trying to figure out, Ju, is there something wrong with me? How do you view James Harden?
I view James Harden as just how we should view the lady, the young lady, the blessed young lady, Mariah Mills, who was messing with Zion, you feel me? Fool me once, you feel me? Like, you done proven how you do whenever you under stress.
Okay.
And he's been doing this for years, so Philly, they supposed to have had somebody ready for this already. Like, this is the least surprising thing to me.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he's a diva. Of course, he's Michelle Kelly and Beyonce. Can't
all of them.
Bootylicious.
What makes him a diva? Because he wants to change the scenery? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, again,
I think it's the pants he be wearing. That's to make him a diva. the fluffy ones.
The fluffy ones? He does dress like a diva. I'll give you that, Ju. I agree. He definitely got fashions of a diva. But from a sports perspective, when my man wants out of a situation, he just gets out of it. I feel like that's business power.
Yeah.
When I think of a diva, I'm trying to think of who I think of from a sports. Like, I don't have the same feel, and this just may be personal, absolutely. I try to think of the NFL comp, because that's what I always do. Even in my business world, I always, like, give analogies in football. I'm like, it's like a head coach. And at some point, I got to stop doing that, because it definitely does not dispel the whole jock thing that I got going on in the business world. But still, when I think of the NFL comp, I'm like, who is a really good player who was one of the top players in his tenure there, MVP level, who bounced around as much as James Harden did. And I really couldn't think of anybody. One name that came to mind was Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens was a great player no matter where he went because he was that talented. And James Harden is very much that way, but it was typically Terrell Owens outstaying his welcome in those places and not the reverse, to where it was like, yo, I'm just trying to go to a new place. And that's what James Harden does. So I think for me, that's why I don't consider him a diva much more than I'm just, he like, yo, if this place don't serve me, I'm on to the next. And I maybe from an athlete perspective, where we get locked into contracts, you're locked into a draft position, you can't do anything except for these little small windows. And even then, you got to worry about if teams are colluding, or is someone really going to give you a chance to get the open market and get what you want. I kind of appreciate James Harden. Is that a terrible take?
I don't think it's terrible at all. I think, like, you're right. Like, us as the commoners, we think that a certain thing about the athletes doing what they want to do. Also, salute to straight cash homie, Randy Mouse. He was Raiders. He was Patriots.
He bounced around. Yeah.
At the same time, we don't look at him, like you said, we don't look at him as a diva.
Nope.
Other than when he mooned the goalposts or something.
He
like
was
that.
A diva, though. He had a diva background until he got with Tom. And for whatever reason, it just washed it away. You know? Right. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. When you're that good, you got such a small window, Jude, to be like the top of the top. And you want to go to a situation like that mirrors your ability at that moment. And if you have that leverage, I'm all for it. Nobody says that about the teams, right? When you sign a big-time athlete, whether it's football or basketball, and they're not playing well, we all are just like, oh, yeah, get rid of them, right? They can change their mind anytime they want to. We don't care if you signed you to a 7-year deal. Year three, you're not what we thought. It's okay to get you out of here, right? And whatever that looks like. But when a player does
I think it'll sound way better coming from James if that Boston series didn't go how it went. Because he did a Houdini disappearing act at the end of that series. He started the series off with a Herculean effort. So it's like, okay, you can do it. You proved it. But then as the series went on, some nights he ain't even shoot when he posed to. He under the goal. It's a whole lot that went into that. And I feel like somebody with that performance, it's unusual for them to make this big of a fuss. But like you said, hey, we talking about big money that's going around these folks' entire city because of these people in place. So he don't want to be there. Good riddance, but a diva is a, never mind. I ain't going to say that, but he's a diva, in my opinion.
A diva is a female version of a hustler.
I didn't want to say that. I got to the F word and I was like, I can't call that man the F word.
Yeah. I thought you were just doing the music lyrics. Can I say this too, now that I'm off my, you know, my sports media kick that I just kind of went on. I don't understand why James Harden, I don't understand how he's good. I'll be honest with you. I don't know about hoops though, Drew. You tell me. Because I watch him.
Okay, we can't do that though.
No, I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's not good. Let me clarify this. I'm not saying that he is not a good basketball player. I know he's a good basketball player. He's MVP caliber. He is a franchise player. I'm saying when I watch him athletically, I don't know why he's good. I don't know hoopers. Football players, I can tell by the way you move whether you're going to be good at a sport. It's like, it's very direct. You know, you see the guy, you see Myles Garrett in person with his shirt off, you know he'll kill somebody. It's not hard to figure out, right? Like, it's like, yo, you shouldn't be moving like that at that size. With James, it ain't like he's super quick. He's not super fast. But I think that's basketball, where you could have a level of craft that just makes you next level. But I don't get it. Can you enlighten me a little bit?
I mean, for number one, I don't know where he's from, the main streets of Compton, L.A., or wherever he ran from in L.A. I think that might have a big deal to do with it, because he used to be in them Scrizzies. You feel me? Playing against them hoopers. You did me at the Drew League. All of those stuff they be doing. And I think, like Luka, him and Luka got the same kind of, it ain't how it look. You feel me? They give about 4 or 5 of them.
It feel different. It feel different in person than how it look.
Right. Especially James Harden and Houston Rockets. He had it mastered down to where he gonna get that foul call, or he gonna blow by you every time. I think that the further his career gone on, he tries not to be that ball hog person, that ball dominant and get everybody involved, which is good for the culture of whatever. But it ain't good against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown when they on your ass. You feel me? So it's like, I think he should just throw it away. Some teamwork, we get it. But you, James Harden, just as much as he, Joel Embiid.
Who's your team?
Oh, I like the Celtics, you feel me?
Oh, okay, that's why you
got it.
That makes sense. That's why you're talking all that cash. So whose side are you on? Are you on the Philadelphia organization side, or are you on James Harden's side? Are you team Daryl Morey, or are you team James Harden? Don't give me this. Juju love everybody, dog. Don't give me that. Are you team Morey?
I am a credentialed member of the media. I am a credentialed member of the media. I have no bias.
What? That's fake. That's cap. Yeah.
I have no bias other than my sisters. You hear me? Ryan Howard and Alicia. You hear me?
That's your only bias.
WNBA, you feel me? But I'm a credential member. I hold no bias this way. You feel me? I want all those brothers to succeed.
Okay, I feel that. That's cap, but we're going to let it slide. Since you brought up the WNBA, I do got to ask you about Liz Cambage. She's been called a capper by everybody on social media. She got into some beef with the Nigerian national team. They got into an altercation. We saw the videos. I don't know if you've seen the videos first, but she was on an interview with Taylor Rooks, and she was like doing the whole, you know how we do as athletes. It's like, I don't know what the big deal is. I don't know. People were just out to get me. Nigerian national team, they came out and were like, yo, that's cap. We're not recruiting you. So I know you got a perspective here as the WNBA purist of Meadowlark Media and the DraftKings Network, Drew. So what is going on? Is Liz Cambage full of cap, or is this just making a big deal about nothing?
I want to keep the respect for my sisters at the forefront every time I mention their names. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean? So, Liz, I know you listen to this, Liz. We always, does we got respect for you. We love you.
That's what's
up. She does. It's confirmed.
Okay.
But I think that Liz used to being a man at every step of the way.
Uh-huh.
You feel me? Liz used to being a man in high school, middle school. She would swatting stuff out of bounds, go professional, and with the Aussies living life. She always been like a unicorn to them people. It's like so special. And I feel like the years progressed and she came over here and wasn't maybe averaging the same amount or maybe getting that same love or whatever the case may be. And it, in certain moments, she acts out, you know what I mean? And a big teller in like the video about the fight that she had, a big tell is, whenever, if somebody sneak me,
she got
like
dropped.
Just me and my partners, my partners is going to tear you up before I even get a chance to see
them. Somebody should have saw it coming.
You feel me?
And reacted.
No, them girls seen it happen, looked at who did it, and was like, dang.
They ain't even help her up.
That's messed up, Liz. What you going to do?
Dang. So, dang, what you done got yourself into, Liz?
You feel me?
I don't want teammates like that, Drew. Drew, if anybody sneak me like they snuck Liz on that video and you don't jump in, Whenever I gather myself and I see you in Miami at the offices of Meadowlark Media, just know it's on site off of principle. Right. You can't have you me out me? There like that.
Right or wrong, too. Like, right or wrong. I don't care if I'm right, wrong, whatever. On your partner, we ride.
Just off top. We're going to figure out later whose fault it is. But right. I need you to jump in immediately. And you know what else is the problem, Drew, that nobody wants to talk about with Liz? I don't think she meant the cap in that Taylor Rooks interview.
Yeah.
But if you've ever been interviewed by Taylor Rooks, you can't help but cap. And that is a reality. Taylor Rooks is my homegirl. We go way back. We came up in this media thing together, but for whatever reason, it does not matter what sport you play, what kind of athlete you are, what league you are in. There is not a single personality in sports media who brings out more cap in an athlete than Taylor Rooks. And quite literally, she has climbed the top of the sports media ladder because they get on there and they get to saying just anything. I think Jaylen Brown went on there and said he wanted to win 13 rings or something crazy.
Bro, he got 5 rings to win in 2 years.
You got 2 years to win 5. They just go on there and we're going to do that sketch. Me and Sydney Colson already workshopping that the Taylor Rooks sketch. But Liz Cambage, another one bites the dust. All right, we're going to talk some more basketball and football after a quick break. Welcome back to Journey. We got my dog, Juju Gotti, in the building. You see all the jewelry my man got on. He's shining like usual.
I got one chain. Don't do that.
Come on, man.
You got your chain on. My chain. I need to tuck mine in around you.
You got the stunner shades indoor.
Thank you for reminding me. Because I'm cockeyed. That's all that is.
And you got the chain on that you wore in the since-shunned Oscar-winning film, The Blind Side. So I know you got it. I know that's that SAG after money that's around your neck, Jew. But speaking of jewelry, my man, there is somebody else who's getting some jewelry. And her name is Larsa Pippen because she's getting married to Marcus Jordan, who is the son of all-time NBA great Michael. Now, I got so many perspectives here. I got so many opinions. And if I'm being honest, like, it's not going to be very PC. I'm going to shoot it straight to you, Jew. But tell me your perspective, man. Marcus Jordan, the son of Michael Jordan, the longtime teammate of Scottie Pippen, is marrying Scottie Pippen's ex-wife of, I believe they were together 18 years or something. Crazy like that. What's your opinion?
At some point, they got to pull up with Ashton Kutcher at the hotel and be like, we were just messing around with y'all.
This all feels like a joke, don't it?
At no step did this make no sense to me. Number one, Michael Jordan, my daddy. I can go wherever I want to get whatever I want to get with my confidence, in my opinion. You feel me? I do not have to stoop to the aftermath of my basically my uncle wife. You feel me?
That's your uncle's wife, for real.
That's just so goofily nasty of... I think it's kind of nasty on her part. You feel me?
Absolutely.
Because that's just... I don't know what's going on with them. Please come home. Like, please reveal the prank, Ashton, soon. Because if you let them get married, then I feel like they are the goofiest couple that may have ever walked Earth.
Goofiest. Like, why are they the goofiest? You're not a fan of love, Juju? You don't like...
No, I'm a fan of love. This is not no Romeo and Juliet, though.
Romeo and Juliet story?
Right, this is Romeo and Hamlet. Like, I don't know what's going on. This Cersei and Game of Thrones stuff going on here. I don't understand. They need to stop to cut it out soon. Yeah. They got a podcast, and I forgot what they called their podcast.
What's the name of the podcast? Do we have the name?
It should have been called Jordan and Pippen. That's Jordan and Pippen? My point. They should have called it Jordan and Pippen. I would have been like, let me hear an episode of that. They called it something goofy. That's why I'm like, bro, y'all ain't even making money right.
Yeah, it can't be about the money because you're not even going for the money. It's right there. He might not even have the rights to Jordan, to be honest. It is crazy. It is crazy. I mean, look, I am a fan of love. I am. I like when two people fall in love, you know what I'm saying? And you have that kind of bond and you decide to get together and see what the world brings you. This should have been stopped at so many points. And that's why it's sad. Because it's not that the fact that you're getting married and you're in love. There should have never been an opportunity for y'all to ever fall in love. Even if you actually are in love and you want to spend the less. This should have been stopped at so many checkpoints along the way. Scottie Pippen, there is no way that these kids didn't call him Uncle Scottie growing up. There's no way. There is no way.
And salute to Scottie, too. Scottie, it's like in these situations, guys goof themselves out and put out mixtapes or something. This is Marcus Jordan. Scottie been cool, bro, as far as
he's been letting it ride. He's been doing his best with it. There is no way this isn't uncomfortable, right? And I'm sure it's uncomfortable for Michael as well. I just don't know who to place the blame on. Is this a situation where Marcus was growing up and he was like, you know, he had this crush on Uncle Scottie's wife? And now it's like, now that he's grown.
I think the children are the future.
He living out this fantasy that he had as a 13-year-old little boy. Is that what this is? And I'm sure Marcus is super cool. But I'll be honest with you. I don't agree with the union. I'm not for this. And Larsa the same way. There is certain people that should always be off limits. There should be a code. There's no code of ethics. It's not showing up anywhere in this situation. I think that's my problem with it. Is that at some point someone had to say, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right, bro. Remember, she was dating Malik Beasley for a while. And I think he played for the Lakers last year, along with Pippen.
A teammate. Pippen
played for the Lakers.
Of her son.
So this is awkward. This is trauma. You feel like, bro, how you supposed to go to practice? And this man here, man, shooting jumpers. Like, come on, bro. Like, that's coach, crazy. Trade me, please. Like,
Get me off this team.
I don't know what's going on, Larsa. Get well soon, no bit, sis.
Get me off this team. That's what I'm thinking, right? All right, so we're going to another NBA player, former NBA player, Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins, he went off the cuff on the J.J. Redick podcast, Old Man and the Three, and he talked about how producers told him to lie on air in order to create a viral moment for social media. Producer Jeff has in here, does this confirm what we've always thought about ESPN and sports media that is fake? I don't know who I'm calling cap on here, but I think it might be Perk. I think this is my opinion is this might be a convenient way to rid yourself of the liability that sometimes we all dive into when the cameras are on. It's not easy being in front of the camera and controlling what you say. And sometimes when you're in these four walls and you're like, oh, it's just me and Juju here talking. And then the video happens. And then they get to tagging people on social media. And after a while, you got people in Timbuktu calling you an idiot or saying, "Oh, you didn't, you said this, you said that." And it sometimes it gets a little big and you like, I was just trying to be entertaining. I thought we was just having a one-on-one conversation. So I kind of feel like, in my experience at ESPN, there's never been a producer that told me what to say. I will say that. Now,
and imagine that producer. That producer walking up to Big Pert. "Hey, Big Pert, coming up, we don't need you to lie.
Lie.
I know you got principle, but bump that.
Take lie. This on the chin." Perk is 6'15". Okay? He is at least... Big Perk probably at least 300, 280. Yeah. He's like an offensive lineman. I'm not talking Jason Kelce side. I'm talking Jonathan Ogden, like the biggest offensive lineman you may have ever seen.
Yeah.
The average size of an ESPN producer is probably 5'9", a buck 81. Ain't nobody going to have the courage to walk up to Perk and tell him to take this on the chin. For social media.
Never.
But I don't know. I got to get Perk on here. That's my man. I got to get Perk on here to really get his side of the story. I want to see him sit across from me and tell me and explain to me how this goes down. Juju, has anybody ever told you in the Dan Le Batard universe to go on there and lie for viral moments of a take?
I ain't going to lie. On the Le Batard show, I play a physician, I should say, but ain't nobody just told me to say something or told me to lie or, you know what I mean? That's so goofy because they'll get looked at so disgustingly from me. Like, I hate when people tell me anything. I got that syndrome. Please don't talk to me.
Don't talk to you.
Yeah, right. That's just a part of the game. But at the same time, telling me to lie, like my mama watching this, like, nah, bro, never. And I love all the good people at Metal Art Media. They would never do such a thing.
They would never. Jeff and Carl would never tell you to lie for viral moments.
Carl would never. Carl might. Jeff, we got to put Jeff in the fire.
Carl definitely will. Look, man, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Journeyman in just a minute. Welcome back to Journeyman. Now joining me and my man Juju Gotti is my dog TJ Ward, former All-Pro, Super Bowl champ, 3-time Pro Bowling safety in the building. TJ, what's up, man?
Man, what's going on, Hog? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I see you in the hotel. I know it's checkout, and you just not giving a damn. Is that a typical etiquette for you in the hotel? Do you just go and come as you please?
I push the line. I usually don't give them that late checkout. Not the call. They just going to have to come up here and send the authorities. By the time they send the authorities, I'll be out.
Man, don't get in no altercation in no hotels in D.C. and then blame it on Journeyman. All right? That's what you can't do.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to take my half day room rate.
yeah. You can expense it back to Juju. He got it. You see that chain on his neck. I did reach ambassador elite status at Marriott recently. That was a big deal. I didn't know what that was, but apparently... with this new status I got with hotel, this sounds like an ad. It's not an ad. And they did not pay for this. So DraftKings or whoever, feel free to delete this or bleep it if they don't want to pay. But I can book any hotel I want as long as it's 48 hours out and they have to guaranteed have a room for me.
Oh, that's love.
So it don't matter if it's booked. If I call 48 hours in advance, if you ever wonder why you get kicked out of your rooms or why you have a reservation and be like, "Oh, what? It changed?" This must be it because I get a guaranteed spot. So
blame it on Hawk.
Blame it on me.
Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
All right, now I got a question for both you guys. You guys are familiar with Drewski, correct? Everyone's familiar with Drewski. Yeah, he's hilarious. Instagram, yeah. I don't know how to describe Drewski. He's a regular comedian, but he's made his way on social media, and he really is hilarious. Like he got a level of funny that
got jokes for sure. He definitely is.
Everybody loves him, right? Athletes, entertainers, other comedians. He's just kind of created this larger than life figure through social media, through Could Have Been Records. The reason why I'm bringing him up is because he just started a sports agency called Four Lifers Agency. And I thought it was a joke, right? Because he has a fake record label that he, you know, makes comedy with. And when I saw that he was starting a sports agency, I just thought this was another bit. But as researched, it's a real life sports agency. So TJ, as a former athlete, a current athlete, you're always going to be an athlete, but as a former NFL player, is there any chance you'd sign with Drewski's agency?
Me personally? Yeah. No way.
No way. Why not? No way.
Ain't no way in hell. Hey, but look, stay on. There's some guys that wouldn't sign with me. Some guys, you know, stay on. But no, there's no way I'm going to have Drewski representing me.
Why is that? Why not?
He's a funny guy. You know, I love his jokes, love his content. Hey, but sometimes I think in the world of we can do it all and do all you can, sometimes we forget to do what you know. You know what I'm saying? And just stay in your lane. But
that's a word, TJ. You came on here dropping real life knowledge on Journeyman.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it's the era. We live in a time where everybody wants to do everything. And they think they can do everything, whether, you know, the reviews are good or bad. But I think it's a fine line, you know. It's definitely a fine line. You see the entertainers in other time periods, Cash Money, you know, even Jay-Z got an agency now. You know, it's a big industry. So guys want to get in it. But, you know, in the industry, within the industry, you know how well they do and how well they aren't doing. So, right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for them to jump in this lane, just like it'd be hard for us to go start a record label or, you know, become a comedian. Time, like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be harder than it is for an ex-player or, you know, someone that has been in this world their entire lives. But not saying they can't do it. No, definitely can. But, you know what you're getting into.
Know what you're getting into. So, see, my thing about the Drewski agency is that if he's negotiating football contracts, nah, I'm good. You can't negotiate my NFL contract. I'm not letting you come anywhere near my NFL contract just because there's so much industry knowledge that you need to know within there. And yeah, there's like a version of it where you can go look at other contracts and you can figure it out if you have a certain level of intellect, but there's just so much just detail, not just within a contract, in the world of football that matter, that even someone like you and I would understand and know, as we've seen it, how incentives work and all those things that you've seen in other contracts that you've comped it with. But if it's just brand, if he's just doing NIL deals for college athletes, then I would consider it for a couple of reasons. He has a crazy reach. And for college athletes, the things that you don't have is reach. He also has access and relationships with a bunch of brands. And so what he can sell to them is, A, I will help you get your following up because I have a following myself that spans more than 10 million across social media. And also, I can connect you with these brands that I'm already directly dealing with. So I think it's a nuanced thing. If it's NIL, I would consider it. If it's NFLPA certified agent, absolutely not. Get the hell away from me and stay away from my contract.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure he has an agent or somebody working with him. But at the same time, like, you bring a part about using his brand to, you know, expose his players or whatnot. How much time is he going to take away from branding himself to brand other players?
Nah, that's facts. That's facts. You know, Master P.
So, you know, that's something you got to consider because his whole brand is Instagram being seen, content, you know, creating skits and things like that. So how much in between you're going to pop in? Oh, this is Ray Charles from, I guess he got a kid from Florida, I heard. I don't forget the guy's name, but, you know, check him out. How much of that in between is going to happen?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a fine line, like I said.
It's like that conversation.
Think, man.
It's the conversation you always talk, that people always talk about, was like rappers signing to other rappers that are at the height of their game, right? Like, typically, they're not trying to share that spot. Like, they're trying to keep that spot. And so the chances of them making you bigger than them, while they're still in it, maybe if their star is like, you know, dropped a little bit or they're like on the back end, there's a potential, but if they're still in the middle of it, 9 times out of 10, they're not trying to blow you up. But that's not, I don't think that's the case with Drewski. And Drewski, if you look at the sign,
they don't even be real record labels anyway.
Yeah. But Drewski, like, you just got signed media.
How you signing somebody?
If Drewski's looking to sign media talent,
you just
saying
you signing, you ain't got no record label. You signing them to Aristotle. You just, Interscope.
You just shelving them.
You ain't got no label.
Juju, you signing with Drewski?
I don't have the fortune of being the elite athletes like I'm talking to. Like y'all better not sign with Drewski. Me on the other end, I'm signing with Drewski ASAP. You feel me? I need everything I can get. I need the tweets. I need to be on Instagram video. I need to be in skits, big bro. I'm trying to move to goddamn. So yeah, I'm signing.
He's signing on the dotted line.
Well, for sure. But like this is you know what I'm saying? It's athletics, so you got to produce on the field. So I don't matter how many skits you in. You're going to be doing skits full time if you ain't performing on that field. That's all you're going to be doing is skits.
That's funny. You can turn NFL athletes into Instagram comedians. All right, speaking of NFL athletes, Jonathan Taylor wants a trade, right? This whole Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor thing has been interesting. And running backs in general, because ain't nobody valuing the running backs. And I feel like someone like Jonathan Taylor is like kind of at his wit's end. Now, obviously, you know, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts came out and made his comments, and now they've gotten to the point where they've allowed Jonathan Taylor to go seek a trade. TJ, do you have a perspective on, A, the running back situation within the NFL, but specifically also Jonathan Taylor's situation?
Yeah, it's tough, man. You got 32 running backs, right? Then you got a backup, so that's going to be 64. And within those 64, you probably have 10 elite backs. So I feel like they have some truth to their argument, but at the same time, just because you start don't mean you deserve elite money at that position. So, you know, if you're doing numbers, a lot of those guys have gotten their money. So I'm kind of trying to figure out where the argument is. Playing safety, I feel their pain because, you know, we are.
I would say safeties don't get paid.
Not the glamorous, you know,
yeah,
you got the cornerbacks. They
all in the same situation
guys.
On the low.
We going to take that, whatever, a little bit less than they're going to get, obviously. But, you know, as a whole, you just got to live with it and hope things change. But produce. Get them numbers up. And then get that check and get out, man.
But that's the point.
You got to learn how to finagle, man. I told you, you got to learn how to finagle in the NFL. But, and you see some guys do it all the time. Like, man, he getting paid twice. Or you've seen it, in the locker room. Like,
ain't no way.
You just got a new contract.
There'll be some robberies going on.
As a whole, I think the top 10 to 12 guys will get their money. The rest, you know, they're going to get secondary money. And you just going to have to get paid before 30. Or get, you know, the 2 to 3 million for a long time. That's just how the game is right now.
The hard part is that number is dropping, even the age. Like a 30-year-old running back is ancient. If you hit 27, they're not trying to pay you. And even when you produce, they're not trying to pay you. Because you can make the same argument for quarterbacks, too. Like, really, in any given time in the world, there is 12 good quarterbacks in the world. Like, 12 good quality, like, elite, like top-tier good NFL quarterbacks at any given time in the entire world, period. And maybe one or two of them are in college. So there's like 10 in the NFL and then one or two in college, but those are the good quarterbacks. Everybody else is mid, right? But they're still getting paid because they're the face of the teams. And because you start in the NFL, it does mean you get paid, which is a wild, wild concept. Because TJ Ward can be a three-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro and literally change and shape the defense and just still, there's just a certain amount of money they won't pay you just because of the position you play, which is crazy.
And that actually happened. And that happened. But since you bring up the quarterback situation, I mean, it kind of trumps my argument, but the thing I will say is the longevity of a quarterback. That's why they're going to make sure they get their money. Along with being the face, they're going to make sure they play 10 years, 12 years.
Yep.
You know, they might be in your, if you want to keep them, you know, they could keep a quarterback 15 years. Backup, you see something, Chase Daniels, he's been playing since I was in school. Ain't started two games in a row.
That's crazy. But shout out to Chase Daniels. Hey, he's in the business of Football Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Because Chase started two games and he's probably made, I don't know what his career
is. I'll tell you what, he must be very likable. He must be a likable guy. I've never met him. But I tell you, everybody must like him.
Chase was doing NFL Network during the season last year. So he's a backup for the Chargers and like on their Monday night shows for the NFL Network throughout the whole season. You talk about a great job.
Hey, I'm going to have to call him up, hit him on the gram.
Hit him on the gram. You got to get some coaching.
I'm sick of it. You need to share this.
Is backup quarterback the easiest job in all of sports?
No.
No? What's the easiest job?
No. The easiest job would probably be punter.
Punter is the easiest job in all of sports.
Yeah.
Why is punter the easiest job?
It'd probably be punter. Because
I mean, that's everything, you know, though. I'm talking about everything, TJ. Players, coaches, like in all of sports, what is the easiest job? And you can get as specific as you want. I just got my answer, so I'm excited to say it.
You said backup quarterback. I'm gonna have to say, man, either the last man in rotation in baseball, well, not even then, because
Juju.
I'd probably say the last man on the bench in hoop.
Lost. Okay,
no,
that's
pressure. Backup quarterback, even though you don't play, when you win, it's pressure. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're going to get that starting quarterback pressure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you're a backup. You've been sitting here. You better do something.
Shout out to the Jamie.
Like, the dude at the end of the bench, he come in. Ain't no pressure. He getting that bag. Ain't nobody expecting nothing from him. When he do come in and be trash, it'd be like, yeah, we knew he was trash.
Scalabrine.
Like, it ain't no pressure on him to do nothing.
What is
so, yeah, I'm going to have to go with that guy.
All right, you got the last guy on the NBA bench. What about you, Juju? What is the easiest job in all the sports?
Bro, them nigga who be got down the people who do the chain from 10 yards down the field, who hold the chain.
The chain game?
Hold the chain. Chain game, me for the if I get old, bro, and I can be in a chain game, bro, I do that till I retire.
But they don't make no money, Juju.
That's an easy job.
It's not a
job.
You just
smoke cigarettes.
That might be volunteer work.
Bro, if you Gucci and if you set for life, you can do that. You can see Pat Mahomes up in person. You feel me? 10 yards at a time.
I tell you the easiest job.
Oh, my bad.
But if you mess up, everyone, you're going to be it's high stakes. For low pay. That's not the easiest job because you either make nothing or minimal and your stakes are very high because the whole game.
And them dudes be getting bent and they be getting taken out on the sideline too.
And you'll get ran into by Aaron Donald.
They be getting whacked. They can't get out the way fast enough.
I don't know about that one. I would say, who is the quarterback coach right now for the Kansas City Chiefs? Whoever he is, easiest job in sports.
Yeah.
Either his or Tom Brady's. Like imagine your job is your Tom Brady's quarterback coach.
Man.
What are you going to tell Tom? You think Tom cares what you say? Like, nobody cares. Nobody, you can't even name.
What are you talking about?
You can't even name a Tom Brady quarterback coach. You can't even, like, think of who was a coach that coached Tom Brady because nobody cares. That is the easiest job. He's going to be successful.
Hey, you know who the ones that coached him. They all got head coaching jobs.
Exactly. They just fast track to the top. That's like Adam Gates.
They still call it the Brady tree. They call it the Belichick tree. They need to call it the Brady tree.
Yeah. I could do Steve Kerr job. I promise to God. I could do Steve Kerr job like this.
Steph, now we're talking. How
Draymond,
is it?
Lock up.
Lock up, Draymond. Hey, Dre, calm down. Calm down, Dre.
Calm down.
Let it go. Let it fly.
Steph, green light. Green light. It's very
easy. You had KD too.
And you got KD.
Come on, man.
All right, that's a good one. Steve Kerr might have the easiest job in all the sports. We're going to talk more NBA and more NFL in just a minute. We got TJ Ward and my man Juju Gotti in the building on Journeyman.
Yes, y'all, and we don't stop.
All right, Juju and TJ, in other news, in more of evolved human news, Derek Fisher is actually coaching Matt Barnes' twin sons. And I believe his son too. And I don't know if they're coaching together. I don't know if that's what I read. But with the history of Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes, do you guys think you are evolved enough men, black men in this world, to be the bigger person such as this? It is a beautiful story. It really is.
All right, if I'm Matt Barnes, I don't want nobody but him coaching because he already know what time it is. You feel me? Make sure to play. Yeah, he the coach. Yeah, go ahead on, big bro. Coach my kids. I ain't got no problem with it.
He said he don't want nobody but him.
So what's the situation? Is Barnes coaching?
No. So
Fisher kids or Fisher coaching Barnes kids?
Fisher is coaching Matt Barnes' twin sons and his son, Drew. So they're on the same team, all playing together, Derek Fisher is the coach. They've since squashed the beef.
I feel if it wasn't so sneaky, with it being so sneaky and the coach is such a admirational position and, you know, a mentorship position, I couldn't have him coaching my sons just on that fact, just on GP. Like,
but he's married to their mom though. And they actually are. Matt Barnes, Derek, I mean, they take family pictures together. So all that is squashed. We just remember, like, all the tweets.
I just personally went down so ugly. So, I mean, for your kid's sake, you got to be, you know, a grown man, like you said about it, be cordial.
You toxic, man.
You know, those the both relationships just, are over both ways.
I don't know. I'm definitely going to be. You toxic, bro. You got that toxic football player energy and mentality, man. Grow up, okay?
I'll be trying to, Hawk, but some shit just stay with me, you know? But yeah, that was the way that it was just, for me, personally, it was a little bit too foul for me. But hey, some people are a little bit more forgiving. I forgive, for sure. I forgive y'all.
I don't believe you. Based on what you just said, it does not sound like you're
my boys. Not my boys, man. Not my boys.
Shout out to all of them. And Matt Barnes' kids is nice. Like, yeah, not for fake sure. Nice. Them
for
cats.
Sure. I've seen them too.
Nice.
I see Barnes a lot, you know, different charity events and golfing. You know, we be getting our golf on. So,
you see what I like about Matt Barnes? Matt Barnes got a football player mentality. I don't know if you know that about him, but Matt Barnes.
Yeah, definitely.
He like to fight. If it's an issue, he want to handle it right there. And there's nothing more I respect than that. Not respect, because don't be fighting, y'all. We said this last week. We don't condone violence here on Journeyman. But if someone has a problem, you say no problem.
Finish it.
You don't want
I ain't
no going to
start nothing.
Right. Absolutely. We talked earlier about the Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen engaged, TJ. Now, just judging by the take you had on Matt Barnes' situation, I am curious to hear, are you for love? Are you for love that Marcus Jordan, the son of Michael Jordan, is engaged to Larsa Pippen, the ex-wife of Scottie Pippen? Are you all for that?
Is that love? Is that what it is?
They're getting married. Why else would they be getting married?
Is that a question in today's America? Why else would you get married if you're not in love?
Yeah. Shit.
Man. I don't know, man. That's just some tomfoolery, bro. I don't think I'll get involved. I don't even get involved in stuff like that.
You didn't
get
no rap
for it. It's unfortunate for that whole, it's just like a soap opera, bro. It's just,
it's sad.
I'm sorry. I ain't got much to say about that. I ain't got much to say about that one. There's a lot going on over there with the GOATs of Chicago. So
that's the name of the reality show. Dang, let me find out. You got right. The GOATs of Chicago.
Get the boys a show.
I will watch that. I will watch that. Another easy job that just came to mind. Joe
Bring
Thomas.
Robin in it. You know, get the whole thing going. Get the whole crew back.
I just thought of another easy job, now that you said that, because we both played with Joe Thomas, and Joe Thomas played 10,363 consecutive snaps. Could you imagine being the number two left tackle? You don't got to play a single play.
We ain't never going to see the field.
Never.
But it's our practice on your right tackle kick step.
Never.
Nah, man, that's amazing, man. Joe. Yeah, he definitely didn't miss a game while I was there 4 years playing with him. So
he missed hella practices, though. Amazing. He missed hella practices.
Yeah. I can't even remember him missing practice, honestly. So that
really? He was early in the game.
The back end.
Yeah, I found him when he had the knee injuries. That's when we came. What was your years like in Cleveland, TJ?
True. You know, it was, it's a little mix of love and hate because they're such great teammates, organization, city, and then you just lose it, man. And it's a lot of turnover. I had 3 coaches in 4 years. So that part was very frustrating, especially when you get over the happiness of just being in the NFL, right? You know, I'm happy to be here. I'm blessed to be in the league. And then it's like 1 year losing, 2 years losing. It's like, all right, I can't take no more. Like, come on, we got to get it together. But it's really, as a player, it's not like college or even high school where, you know, there's a different type of, sway you have over your team and, you know, coaches and stuff. And in the league, you may have that with one particular group of coaches. You may not with the Knicks. So it's just a little different. It's a little harder. So, but overall, I had a great time in Cleveland. Had a great time.
You know, it's funny.
But I just wish.
I feel like a lot of people that played in Cleveland have an affinity for it. Like if you've been there for a number of years, I don't know if it's the people, I mean, the organization is like, there's so much on the outside where like there's a certain perspective, mm-hmm. but then when you play there, I think it changes a lot of people's mind. Cause a lot of people I play with in Cleveland also have that same affinity, even if they played at a bunch of different places. So it is interesting. Juju, you're a fan. You love all sports. You love all people. What is your honest perception of Cleveland Browns? Just curious. I just want to hear like, what's your POV? Like, when you think of the Cleveland Browns, what do you think of?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in the country, so I didn't even have a good familiarity. I wasn't familiar with them growing up. I just knew the Falcons. But as I got older, ain't nothing wrong with them. I actually rooted for y'all kind of, I guess, in those days, because I was in college or whatever, mm-hmm. living my life. But now that they got Deshaun Watson, it's a little rough.
A little rough.
Because I be watching it with people, and yeah, they already got more to say about that than the game.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
that's what's going on now.
That's what they signed up for. That's a real life truth. That's a real life truth. Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, Bryce Young, who's not coming out of college, was that he wasn't big enough to play in the league. So they got jokes coming at him. They got media people talking about asking if he can see actually over the podium or over the mic when he get out there. And he had a couple of rough stints in there in some early preseason games. TJ as a safety. If you got a quarterback who is 5'9", 5'10", or the size that Bryce Young is, even with his arm talent, do you look at that like it's an advantage for you?
No.
No, it does not matter to you. You don't
care. I really
don't. Yeah.
Like, I really don't, because these were 6'7", bums. I can't wait to play. 6'7", can't hit the bar side of a barn. But now, this kid, I done seen him play in high school, college. You know, he had a couple little, I guess, rough games, but the Carolina Panthers had great quarterback play last year. Was it amazing? Did they do anything? Mm-hmm. He's a rookie. Let him get in some time. You let some other guys get some time, and you ain't got nothing to say until they get in week 8 and be trash. It's preseason. You are, right. Media cracked me up, man. Ain't played a down. Got jokes to make. How about I don't answer none of your questions? Yeah, jokes on you. But, yeah, media, you gotta give and take with them.
Yeah.
Because some of them really just be hating. Some of them do their jobs very well and are good at breaking things down and dissecting players. And then you got some guys or outlets that just ride coattails of guys. So you just gotta know who you're dealing with in that media, man.
Yeah, I hope Bryce Young, I hope he balls out. I hope he balls out, because he has a crazy talent. Too.
Good, great kid, man. Great kid, great family. He's a winner. So at the end of the day, it don't matter what level. You do it here in high school, you do it in college, you win there, you're going to win in the league. You put the right people around him, you're going to win. It's in him.
That's it. As a side note, because you talked about, you know, watching him young, I had a moment today where I realized how damn old I was when I seen Drake Kirkpatrick's son committed to Alabama. And I'm like, Dre was just playing at Alabama 2 years ago. How the hell does he have a son old enough to be going to play at Alabama? That's crazy.
And Dre was getting busy.
Early. I'm like, Dre must have had that kid when he was 13.
Busy early.
I think Dre, like, was class of 2009 high school.
Dre younger than me, for sure. He came in, I think, 2 years after me. I played with him a couple months stint in Arizona, and I was there, Dre, me, Pat P.
That's crazy.
It was a quick. I was out the league for 2 years. They called me to work out. I was like, hell yeah, I'm coming. Ended up getting put on the practice squad. It was COVID year. Was there for about 5 weeks.
I'm 37. Dre can't be. I don't know what Dre's age is. Dre can't be no more than 30.
He's probably 34, 35. I think he's 33, honestly.
And he got somebody that's committed to Alabama. That's nuts. Last thing I want to ask you about on the NFL side, Tyreek Hill, and this will be a little bit of a discussion. He came out and said he don't watch film. He only watches, he plays Madden, and he looks at the ratings of players to know what they're bringing to the table when he plays them on Sunday. Another opportunity for me to call Cap, because I'm like, ain't no way in hell. But TJ, you tell me, what do you think, man? I like having you on, because now I can get some backup. Because Juju would tell me I'm crazy. He'd be like, yeah, I play Madden, big bruh. And you know what I'm saying? We go out there. And I have to just be like, all right, well, I got my opinion. You got yours. So, TJ, do you think it's cap that he plays Madden as watching film?
Well, he watches film during the day. in the meetings. You know what I'm saying?
You got to see it. Ain't no way.
Getting the game plan. He watches film. Now, he may not go home and watch film.
I believe that's
probably factual. Like, I don't think he really gets the ratings of players and all that, but he probably definitely goes home, plays Madden, come back, get the game plan at work. All right, figure it out, and then I'm going home, and I'm going to come ready to run past everybody. That's the game plan. I'm going to run around until somebody find me. So
he really got that kind of talent.
I thought it was cap at first until I really sat down and I
thought,
like,
about it.
A lot of players don't go home and turn that iPad on at all.
Damn. That's the fact.
So then I'm like, yeah, that may be right. He may actually do that. People, nah, he's lying. He don't do that. I said, hey, listen, I played, been in the locker room. Guys don't open that playbook.
It's a lot of guys that don't. It's a lot of cats that do way worse than not open the playbook. Juju, do you think he was capping?
Yeah, I think it's a little capping as well.
All right, so you team
cap. Just a smidget. Just a smidget, like he said.
Yeah, just a smidget. That's what I said. Just a little bit.
Hey, you ain't watching.
Like, I really don't think
he'd
go on Madden and be like, all right, let me see. Minka Fitzpatrick, he a 95. All right, his skill set is. No, he ain't doing that. Hell no.
Ain't no way. The Johnny Manziel doc, he was on there, and he and the famous, like, the big, like, shocker to everybody that was watching it is when the GM called his agent, who was Ray Farmer, and he was like, yo, Johnny's not watching no film. And he's like, come on, he has to watch some film. And he said his iPad says 0.00 minutes of
that's
film.
That's crazy. Not 0.0, like, come
quarterback.
On, man. Zero? Literally?
Zero, TJ. I was there. I remember it like it was yesterday. That man is telling the absolute truth.
You could tell when he came to work?
I told this story last week, and I know we're running low on time here, but I'm going to make it quick. And that walkthrough, because you know, there's a walkthrough that happens before you travel, right? Like, it's you go to the indoor, your flight leaves at 12, you're in for a little walkthrough at like 9, 10 o'clock, and it's literally just walking. Defense is out there, the scout team defense, they're walking, offense is walking, it's just kind of getting lined up going through. In that walkthrough, Johnny threw 3 picks on our way to the game. The defense ain't allowed to catch the ball. So it was like just he was just looking at the wrong side and throwing it to people he thought was on offense. And it was corners and safeties. So,
wow.
Yes, that was at that moment. I'm like, okay, now it's getting dangerous because I got to go out here and play against, at that time, I think it was the Bengals. And they whooped our ass, boy.
So my thing is, coming into that process, right? I'm scouting Johnny Manziel to draft him. I put him on a chalkboard. It had to be pretty damn evident that he didn't know nothing about X and O's.
Right.
It had to be.
At some point.
The boy don't watch no film in first round pick. The boy ain't watching a lick in college.
Nope.
And you know he ain't watched none in high school. He couldn't tell me an X or O. Put a Y on the board. What is that? It's an O. No, that's a Y, motherfucker. I said X is an O. But yeah, man. Hey, this process is not airtight.
I think because people think that they can ability their way to like X. Like, we could teach you the X and O's, but you got so much natural ability. And the thing about Johnny is he had a crazy amount of ability. Like,
yeah, sure.
Dude could play. He could play. He had the skill set, but he just, his mind was elsewhere. He had gotten what he wanted out of football long before he got to the NFL, and there was nothing you could do to motivate him to change the way
thing,
he was
we
going.
We backdoored it with Baker Mayfield. Mm. Ooh, that's a lineup for you. Johnny did Baker. Oh, my God.
Man, Baker's the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You don't believe it. You don't think it's going to work out?
He was starting quarterback at Carolina last year, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. All right, here we go. This is what we're going to end on because we got to go. MVP pick for this NFL season. Juju, we're going to start with you. Who's your MVP pick?
Pat Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Same old.
More the same. Who you got, TJ?
I'm going to go with the J. I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to probably go Jalen Strong.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Strong, right?
Hurts. Yeah.
Jalen Strong, the homie, ASU.
Yeah, shout out to Jalen Strong.
Yeah, Hurts.
Receiver. All right, you're going Hurts. I'm going with Lamar Jackson, man. I think LJ going to bring it back.
That's a good one, too.
That's it, man. Well, that does it for today's episode of Journeyman. Shout out to TJ Ward. Shout out to Juju Gotti, both MVPs in my book. Make sure you journey back next week, same time, same place. And until then, put me anywhere on God's green earth, I'll triple my worth.